Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we're getting closer and closer to Easter. And I just want to say to you, or rather, I suppose, ask you, are you drawing closer to Jesus in this most grace-filled season? Are you taking stock of where you are? You know, I've said many, many times on this program, and the program itself speaks for it, that knowing the Word of God is one of the channels of grace that we need. And I hear so many Catholics say to me, well, I'm not a scripture scholar. I'm not this. I'm not that. There are loads of commentaries. Plus, we have a head on our shoulders, and you can read. Yes, perhaps you won't get all the meaning out of it, but every time you read the scripture, it speaks to you. It challenges, it convicts, it consoles, it comforts. It does all those things. Let me say this here. One of the things most important for us, honestly, is to memorize the Word of God. I don't mean the entire book of God's Word, but I do mean that we read certain verses that will stand out to us, certain verses that will challenge us, certain verses that really touch our hearts. Memorize those, because God's Word is living and active. That's the words of Scripture itself. God's Word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has power, says Scripture, to separate bone from marrow. And anyone who reads the Word of God with even a minimal level of faith can be challenged and convicted and consoled by the power of the Word. The Word lives. It's the living Word of God. Please, brothers and sisters, read the Word of God every day. Memorize certain verses of Scripture that really speak to you, that have challenged you, convicted you, comforted you, strengthened you, given you wisdom you don't want to forget. That Word is living. That Word has power to work in your mind, your heart, your soul, even your body, and change you, conform you more to Christ. I don't think the majority of Catholics read the Bible very frequently. Oh, I hear it at Mass. Do you? Do you really? How many times do we hear a gospel that's somewhat familiar to us, and we kind of turn it off and daydream until the reading has been completed, and we think, oh, I know that. I have to say that almost every time I read the Word of God, even when it's a familiar passage, every time there is sometimes it's a burst of sunshine, a burst of light, but there isn't a time that I don't read the Word of God that I'm not enriched, that I'm not strengthened. It's not information. It's the grace of God, which is the living God giving himself to us so that we can be more and more conformed to him. So if you make no other decision, though I hope you do, but even if you make no other decision during this Lent, promise God and promise yourself you're going to read Scripture every day. Even if it's for 3 minutes, read it every day. You can go begin with Genesis and go to Revelation, or you can read the letters of Paul, or you can read the four Gospels, or you can read a particular book of the Old Testament. You can do it however you want, but read it every day, please. The first reading for today is taken from the prophet Daniel, chapter 13. It's broken up a bit for the readings because the reading is very long. And so it's broken up and they give the long form and then they give a shorter form for the Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. I'm going to do the shorter form, not because I want to, but because of time on this program. So I would urge you, if you can, to read the prophet Daniel, all of chapter 13. And I will read the shorter form. The assembly condemned Susanna to death, and they condemned her to death because she had been falsely accused of being unfaithful to her husband, falsely accused by the two men who tried to rape her and were not successful because she screamed and people came running. But they're the ones who reported that she was lying with a young man and did this and did that. And so Susanna was condemned to death. Because these two men were judges. They had a high position. And they were corrupt. We find that in our day, don't we? But Susanna cried aloud, "O eternal God, you know what is hidden. You are aware of all things before they come to be. You know that they have testified falsely against me. Here I am about to die, though I have done none of the things with which these wicked men have charged me. The Lord heard her prayer." He hears your prayer. "As she was being led to execution, God stirred up the Holy Spirit of a young boy named Daniel, and he cried aloud, 'I will have no part in the death of this woman.'" That's courage for a young boy. "All the people turned and asked him, 'What is this you are saying?' He stood in their midst and continued, 'Are you such fools, O children of Israel, to condemn a woman of Israel without examination and without clear evidence? Return to court, for those two men have testified falsely against her.' Then all the people returned in haste. To Daniel, the elder said, 'Come sit with us and inform us, since God has given you the prestige of old age.'" In other words, you have great wisdom. "And he replied, 'Separate these two far from each other that I may examine them.' And he examines them and he says, 'Under what tree did you find Susanna and this young man together?' And the one says, 'Oh, under a mastic tree.' And the other one says, 'Under an oak tree.' So they're questioned separately, and so they don't know. They don't have the truth. They contradict one another. And Daniel says, 'Your fine lie has cost you your head, for the angel of God awaits with a sword to cut you in two so as to make an end of you both.' The whole assembly cried aloud, blessing God who saves those who hope in him." I like that verse. The whole assembly cried aloud, blessing God who saves those who hope in him. When you're in difficult situations, if you're turning to the Lord frequently, you can turn to him in the midst of that difficult situation, just like Susanna did, and find refuge, and find hope, and find freedom. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 23, it's a psalm that's most familiar to the most people. I'd encourage you to memorize it. "The Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want what is essential for life. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul." Do you know that? Have you experienced that? Spend time with the Lord. Receive the Eucharist frequently. Read his word daily. And you will enter into an ever-deepening relationship with God. And the gospel is the gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area. And all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. Sounds a little bit like Susanna in the Old Testament that we just read. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" See, they're not really interested in the law. They're only interested in tripping up Jesus. They only want to make him seem to be lawless, not obedient to the law. They want in any way to tear him down and eventually to destroy him. That's their motive. They said this to test him so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. I don't know what he said. Scripture doesn't say what he said. Someone once ventured that perhaps what Jesus was doing was writing down in the sand the sins of the accusers. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. "Let the one among you who is without sin." We all know we've sinned, every one of us. And at least they were ashamed. And they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. And then Jesus straightened up and he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she replied, "No one, sir." And then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." She had suffered the public humiliation. Jesus had mercy on her. He told her not to sin. He told her to turn away. That's part of God's mercy, is God extends mercy when we fail, but he does say to us, "Now, don't fall back into the same trap. Make some changes. You might have to, in a sense, decrease the sin little by little, not because I'm advocating that, but because of our human condition. If we've sinned for a long time in some way, in some ways, it's hard to break the habit. But you know God has mercy on you, and you keep repenting. Just keep repenting. And eventually his grace triumphs over our sinfulness. Never give in. Never give up. God will set you free because he loves us, because he wants to do so much for us. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. I don't condemn you." What beautiful words to a public sinner. Do we put people into categories ourselves? Do we refuse to speak to certain people? Or do we gossip about certain people's sins, habits, bad manners? What do we do with the sins of others? How much we want mercy when we sin? What do we do? In the power of God, we can forgive. We can help another heal. May God give you wisdom. May God give you grace. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.